God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you from our Father in heaven and from Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Amen. I'd like to start out today with a trivia question for you from the Bible. You ready? What was Christianity called before it was called Christianity? The Way. Right. So in the Bible, in the book of Acts, before Christians were called Christians, they were followers of the Way. Christianity was called the Way. Let me show you that in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9, for example, says Paul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus so that if he found any belonging to the Way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And then when Paul was converted and he was brought before the governor Felix on trial, some Jews came against him, and Paul gives his defense, saying, "Neither can they prove to you what they now bring up against me. But this I admit to you, that according to the Way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law or written in the prophets, having a hope in God that they themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust." So Christianity, at first, was not called Christianity, and Christians weren't called Christians for a little while. We were followers of the Way, and Christianity was called the Way. And so today, I'd like to talk with you about being followers of the Way. As we're looking at our summer sermon series at our new identity in Christ, remember, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And God has put you in the Way and made you followers of the Way through Christ. So I'd like to talk with you about that today. What is the Way? How do we follow it? Where does it lead? Are there other ways? Where do they lead? And so let's take a look then at what it means to be a follower of the Way and what God would have to say to us about it. First thing we need to know, I think, from the Bible is that our life is a journey. We're going somewhere. We're on a path. We're walking, just like Pilgrim's Progress we've been looking at on Wednesday nights. It starts really when you're conceived, then you're born, and you grow up, and you live your life, and you're getting older, and one day you die. Life has a beginning, a middle, an end, and ultimately a destination, as we'll see. It's a journey. And all along the way of our lives, choosing our path that we go through this life, it is full of choices. You're confronted with a place where the road divides before you, and you have to decide which way you're going to go. Just like that Robert Frost poem, if you remember, he says, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I couldn't travel both and be one traveler. I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. And as we're going through life, we come to places where we need to make a decision, and we look down both roads to see where they will lead. At least, hopefully we do that. And the choice we make ultimately determines a lot. Let's say, for example, someone's hurt you in your life really, really bad, and maybe for your whole childhood or something. And you reach a point where there's the road divides, and you say, will I go the way of forgiveness and forgive this person? Or will I go the way of unforgiveness and not forgive them? But know that the choice you make down each of those roads is a path of your life. And what you want to do is look down the road as far as you can to see where it goes. Because there are two very different places. Choosing the path of forgiveness leads to joy and freedom. It's the path of life, as Jesus himself forgave us and taught us so. But if you choose the path of unforgiveness of someone, what you're really choosing, though it may seem like freedom, is ultimately despair, sorrow, bondage, anger. It's the path of death. There are two paths. Two roads diverged in a wood, said Robert Frost. And our early Christian forefathers, the earliest writing we have outside of the New Testament, the earliest one we possess just about, is called the Didache. It's a writing that was written from Christians, maybe the late first century, early second century, so within a generation or so after the apostles. And they wrote this, our Christian forefathers. They said in the Didache, there are two ways. one of life and one of death, but a great difference between the two ways. And isn't that the truth? So we are called by God followers of the way because we believe as Christians that there is a way that is right, called the path of life, to walk through this life. And we remember the words of our Lord Jesus when he said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." So there are, in life, two paths, two roads that you can choose, one of life and one to death. And one leads to life and everlasting, and one leads to death and everlasting. And we are, as Christians, followers of the way, praise God, by the grace of God and what he's done for us. So understand that. It's a journey, two paths, two roads, two destinations. Are we good? Secondly, God wants us to understand that between these two roads, the path of life and the path of death, they will never agree with one another. Dick Barber, one of our members, said his father once told him, "Son, there's right and there's wrong and there's nothing in between." That's a good thing to remember when we're going through life. The path of life and the path of death never will agree. I'm thinking what happened recently this week and the whole chicken fiasco or situation with Chick-fil-A. The head of that company, what did he do? He said, "I believe there's a way for marriage, namely between a man and a woman." And simply by making that statement and meaning nothing really by it, it ignited a huge controversy in our country over a chicken restaurant. A chicken restaurant? What's the big deal about that? Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't really about chicken. It was about two roads, two paths, two ways of believing. One saying, "This is the way that we should go," and the other side saying, "All ways are okay, except when you say that there is only one way to go." And so there was supposed to be a boycott against it, and then there was a bunch of people running to the restaurant to support this view that there is marriage between a man and a woman. But the world will always rage against this, namely that when a person says there is one way and a way that is right. And why? Because the world believes, and this is their cardinal principle and spiritual rule, that there is no one way to live, that there is no right path. But I'm here to tell you today, through Christ, there is a right way. There is a good way to go. But these two paths, and what we saw this week, are two roads colliding with each other, the way of life and the way of death, and the two will never agree. So we need to understand that the world we live in as Christians is going to constantly try to tell you, there's no one right way to live. What are you, crazy? Some kind of nut? Some kind of weirdo to believe that kind of thing? Because the world will say, all roads lead to God. All paths lead to heaven. I remember at our Bible class here on Sunday, a couple months ago, I think, I showed a little clip from an Oprah Winfrey show where a Christian and woman in the audience said, "There is just one way, Oprah, and the way is Jesus." And Oprah countered that and said, "There can't possibly be just one way. There can't possibly be just one way." And what happened? Same thing as Chick-fil-A. The whole room got divided and hot because the two roads were not agreeing with one another. They were colliding, two paths. And we live in a world where Americans, especially today, believe that religion's about kind of like going to Subway to get another restaurant in there. You know, you can go down that line and say, "I want a little of this, a little of that, don't give me this," and eventually make your own sandwich. And people today in our culture believe that that's the way religion works. That's the way the road to God works. You can say, "I'll take a little of this, a little of that. I won't have this. I'll create my own religion, and I'll get there my own way." But this is the same thing that happened in the days of Israel. In Judges, God, the Holy Spirit writes, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes, chose his own path, made his own religious sandwich, if you will. But God warns in Proverbs 21, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. And Proverbs 14, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. So God tells us in Scripture, though, and here's the good news, that there is a way which is right. That's the path to choose. Let me read you some of these from the Old Testament. In Jeremiah 6, God says this to his people. Stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Sound like today, huh? There is a way, but most people don't walk in it. Also, we read in Proverbs 14, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. And therefore, David prays in Psalm 5, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before me. As a Christian, is this your life? Is the way straight before you? Does the Lord Jesus lead you on that level path? This is what it means to be a follower of the way, that God has shown us the good ancient paths to walk in them. And it's a delight to our souls. It brings life and it leads to life. And that's what God wants for every individual on this earth. And he spoke in the Old Testament days of a day when he would make his way manifest and clear for all to see. It's written in Isaiah 35. God prophesied, and a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not pass over it, and fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed, they shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Can't you just picture that, if you will, in your mind's eye? A highway shall be there. God will make it known. It'll be a path of righteousness and joy and peace and bring you to Zion with songs of rejoicing. Isn't that beautiful? Well, that, I declare to you, has come to pass in Jesus Christ. This way is now made perfectly known to us. Jesus says here in John chapter 14, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And, watch this, you know the way where I'm going. What? To heaven. You know the way where I'm going? Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That way is revealed to you this morning. Jesus is the way to go through this life. And what does that mean? He is the way. Well, he's made the way where? To heaven, to the place where he was going for you. Because sin was blocking the way. There was no way for a human being to walk to Zion. But a highway shall be there, declared God, and a highway is there in Jesus Christ, who took our sins on the cross and opened the gate of heaven to all believers. He is the door. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Are you walking on that way today? Do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Are you following his word? For that's what he says next. He says, I am the truth. What does that mean? His words to us are truth, and we walk in that way by following and obeying them. This is what it means to be sticking to the path. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Is the path before you light today? Well, it's following the words of our Lord Jesus. And what is that word? believe on me. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You're justified by freely by believing in me. You have eternal life. And come follow me. For he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So where does this road lead? It's an invisible road, right? Right? But you're walking on this road, God says. And it leads you to life and life everlasting. Jesus says, I am the life. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So there are two roads through the world. One, a path of death that leads to death. One, a path of life that leads to life. And God, by his grace, has made you followers of the way. And it's a delightful road that we walk to Zion with singing and rejoicing. You know, I was at Cape Cod recently, as you know, and I'm looking at my family, and I'm looking at my own life, and I'm thinking about this, that all trouble in life, think about this, all trouble in life is ultimately because of people straying from the word. Isn't that true, in a sense? I've seen it in my family, the stresses and pains, my sister's lives, parents' lives, my own life. Perhaps you've seen it in yours. Anytime we follow the word of Jesus, the path is all lovely, full of joy and peace. If you not follow it, it brings strife and contention, anger, sometimes divorce, unforgiveness, and heartache. Now, that's not to say that there's no pain in the way of life, but this is what I mean. You know, you may in your path of life meet persecution, abuse, sorrows, like going through the death of your child, through the valley of the shadow of death. But you know the difference for us? When we go through things like that, the ground under us is good. And that makes all the difference. When you go through tough times as a Christian, when you're on the way, the ground under us is good. It makes it all endurable and gives us a deep and abiding joy. Why? Because we're on the path and he is with us. And he leads us in good paths. The ground is good under our feet in sunshine and rain. As David says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff comfort me. And so it's a wonder to us. Is it a wonder to you? When unbelievers go through these same kinds of trials and difficulties and pains in life, and I don't know how they get through it. And sometimes you might wonder the same, because the ground under their feet is not good. The only thing they can say is, well, Uncle Herb's in a better place. But that's no real comfort. The comfort is in the truth. That other one's quicksand, but under your rocks, under your feet are rocks and solid ground on the word of God's promise. And so when we go through life, God wants you confident. The ground is good. And also, we praise God for it. Because we didn't put ourselves on this path. We didn't just get there because we're smarter than the rest of the world. We were lost in sin. But as David says, he drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Do you know that? All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Jesus provided the way. Jesus plucks us out of the lost place and puts us in the way of life. As David says, he reached from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He brought me forth into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Are you praising God for that today? You know, sometimes, even when we're in the way, we still stray, right? We go into wrong paths. But we have this word. And the Lord will, though he give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher. You shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand or to the left. When we stray out of the path, he says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. A couple years ago, I was in Cape Cod on a kayak. And I went out on a very foggy morning. And I thought I'd go straight over to Hog Island, one of my favorite places. And I started going straight across the bay, or so I thought, and it should have been about 20 minutes to get there. Couldn't see a thing, dense, dark, thick fog. I knew the way where I was going, or did I? After about an hour, I'm still in the water, hadn't seen land yet, didn't know where I was, had no sense of direction, and finally land appeared before me. And what did I see? I was about 50 feet down the beach from where I started. That's what it's like to walk in the path of death. You don't know where you're going, in darkness. But then a funny thing happened. The fog stayed over the sea and the bay, but just a little bit I could see the sun appear just a bit through the fog. And I knew that the sun was rising in the east, and that was the direction of my island. And so I just set to sea into the bay again, and I followed that light, followed that sun. And though I still couldn't see anything on my level, I could look up there and just paddle this way, and within about 15 or 20 minutes, there I was on the island within 50 feet on the beach of where I was aiming for. And the point is that in life, we can't see always everything that's around us and the way that we should go. But if we keep our eyes on the Son of God, keeping the Lord always before us, He will make straight your paths. And so you can have confidence when you go through life. When the choices come and you don't know which way to go, you keep your eyes on that Son, you paddle for the Son, Jesus Christ, and you will arrive safely because He makes His way straight before you, trusting in Him. And that's the good news. Our paths in life, we understand, is they're leading us somewhere. They're leading us home. They're leading us to heaven, and Jesus Christ Himself is with us. As He said, I'm with you always to the close of the age. When I flew to Boston, up to Cape Cod on my vacation, I'm glad that when I got on that plane, the pilot had a sense of direction. That he didn't just take off and said, okay, today we're heading west, or no, I feel like southeast. We'd never make it. Why then does the world believe that they can make the greatest journey from earth to heaven and have any direction work out for us? No, we're thankful that we know the pilot today. We know that he knows the way, and his name is Jesus Christ, the way and the truth and the life, and he leads us to heaven. And so when you leave this church today, and you following Jesus, and you love him, and you believe his gospel, and the forgiveness of your sins, rejoice. Go out confident, because you have a man, you have a pilot with you who's leading you home. And he's promised never to leave you, nor forsake you. And he says to you, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. What a great promise to the followers of the way. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so we conclude and say with David from Psalm 16, O Lord, thou dost show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.